tape, I want to say that, and not that it hasn't happened before, so I don't want anyone to misunderstand that, but I just heard the gospel this morning. That was the truth of God that Joe Galusik preached to us this morning. And it was something that Paul and Paula and myself were talking about last Sunday when I had the ride with them because of the flat tire. Because of that truth, there are those who think we are, Paula mentioned this, we're hair splitters. That we split hairs. But that, what Joe preached, is exactly what the book of God teaches.
Amen.
That's exactly what it teaches. And if it means that we are ostracized for preaching that truth, then so be it. That's just the way it is. Because I say this not with joy, and I don't mean to say it with pride, because I don't know any of these things in and of myself. I say this with sadness. Even in grace circles, that truth is not preached. It's not preached. And it's even said that we, and Joe's right, there are those who think we don't believe the gospel's necessary. We believe the gospel's absolutely necessary.
Absolutely.
But it's absolutely necessary for its job.
Exactly.
And its job does not give life to the dead. It gives food. It gives bread to the hungry. God's got to make you hungry.
Yeah.
Food don't make you hungry. The lack of it is what makes men hungry.
Yeah.
You know, food feeds those who are alive. You can force feed a dead man all day long. Guess what?
Yeah.
It ain't going to help him a lick. And that's what Joe was preaching, and that's what this book teaches. And part of me would love to just take up where he left off and just go with that, but I'm not going to. Turn back to Revelation chapter 6. Now, Lord willing, next Sunday, I will start with chapter 7 all the way through chapter 12, but I will not read all of that next Sunday. I don't have time to do that. But if you are so moved to, you read those chapters, 7 through 12 of the book of the Revelation. Now let's go back to chapter 6 for this morning, because there's one other thing I want to, by the Spirit's enablement this morning, is one other thing I want to bring out concerning this thing of the wrath of the Lamb. And let's read the passage again, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. It didn't say it becomes sackcloth of hair. It becomes black as.
Yeah.
That lets us know that this is a metaphor.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, it has to equal the metaphor, or there is exaggeration in the scripture. Something's going to happen bad when this seal's open. Black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Somebody says, how could a massive star fall to the earth? Because God said so. You know, how could the Son of God come down and become flesh? Because God made him flesh. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said, not to God,
yeah,
or not even to the Lamb, they said to what? The mountains.
Yeah.
They said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. And remember what we've looked at in the past few Sundays, and from the wrath of the little Lamb. That's what that word lamb there is.
Yeah.
It's in the diminutive. It's a little lamb. The baby lamb.
Yeah, exactly.
Think of that phrase. The wrath of the baby lamb.
Yeah, exactly.
The wrath of the baby lamb. Well, my title, if you want to give it a title this morning, is this. The Lamb's Wrath.
Yep.
The Lamb's Wrath. Absolute continuity.
Yeah.
Absolute continuity. Now, the world of the unbelieving. And when I say that, let me go into detail. I'm talking about this world in its political aspect. That's the political things of this world are wrapped up in and under the bondage of unbelief. Don't ever forget that. It is called, according to the scripture, this time, the times of the Gentiles. And that Jerusalem would be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled. That's what the book says. So whether it's this political aspect, that is the world, this world of the unbelieving. Whether it's its social aspect, whether it's its governmental aspect, as distinguished from the political, though they are connected, but so is the social. Whether it's political, social, governmental, economic. Economics are not based upon God's word. They are not. Most of us wouldn't want economics based upon God's word. This world hates it. But whether it's that, political, social, governmental, economic, or religious, or even Christendom, and I make the distinction there. In other words, Christendom is that which professes to believe Christ, but actually doesn't. It's the world of professing Christianity. But all of this, the world of the unbelieving, looks with a jaundiced eye at the wrath of the little lamb. When they read that phrase, and if they really knew, well, it's not just the wrath of the big ram, it's not the wrath of the mature lamb, David, it's the wrath of the baby lamb. That's the way you could put it in the actual Greek. The wrath of the baby lamb, this world and all of its aspects and all of its facets looks at the wrath of the little baby lamb with a jaundiced eye. Carnal reasoning says this: it does not see in God absolute continuity but incongruity. I got that word from that book, Joe. You know what incongruity is? Contradiction. And I have to confess to you that were it not for the truth of God, and even more, the grace of God given me in Christ Jesus, I would see it, and did at one time see it, the self-same way. Yeah. I mean, you think of it, the wrath of the little baby lamb.
Exactly.
The very phrase doesn't seem to make sense, and it doesn't to carnal reasoning.
Exactly.
It doesn't to unbelief. But there is in God absolute continuity.
Yes, sir.
Absolute continuity.
Amen.
I want to turn to it. There's a couple passages. Actually, Ellen found one of them for me this morning. But turn to Job. Let me get there. Job chapter 2, I believe it is. You remember what happened to Job. Job chapter 2. And it's verse 10. Let's read verse 9. You remember what happened to Job. All of this calamity came upon him, it's what seems to me, within one day.
Yeah.
Because it says there were, what, three messengers came to him?
Yeah.
And it says while one was speaking, another one showed up.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, it was bang, bang, bang. All of this happens, you know. Something that's never happened to me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I've never had trouble like this. All come in one day. Verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. That'd be tough to have a spouse say that to you, wouldn't it? Just think of the insult added to the injury already.
Yeah.
You know? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What does he mean by that? An unbelieving woman. He's saying, basically, my sweetheart, I love you, but you're talking like an unbeliever.
Yeah.
That's what he's telling her. Now look, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And we do.
Amen.
Any good you've ever had, it came from God.
Amen.
Okay? It came from God.
That's right.
What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Now take that in its context.
Yeah.
But even in the context, we have murder,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah.
We have natural disaster.
Yeah.
We have theft.
Yes.
But even God Almighty was in absolute sovereign control of everything. And Job did not say, God did me good, but the devil did me evil. He said, God Almighty gave me good. And God Almighty is the same one that gave me what? All this calamity, all of this evil, all of this trouble. Contradiction? Incongruity? In the minds of the unbelieving? Yes. Yes. But not to the mind of the believing. In all of this, the last part of that verse says, Job did not do foolishly. What did he not do? He didn't sin with what? At least this. What?
Yeah.
His lips.
Yeah.
He knew what he ought to say.
Yeah.
David, even if in here, he felt totally different. Right. He knew what the truth was.
Yeah, exactly.
You see that?
Yeah.
He knew what the truth was. Here's the one that I was thinking of. And it don't go all of that. I was going to say something. It don't matter. Turn to Isaiah now. Along the same lines here, Isaiah chapter 45. And look at what God says. This is beginning in verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me.
Amen.
I girded thee. Now this is amazing.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to read even this part. I read this morning. Though thou hast not known me. Isn't that grace?
Amen.
That's grace right there. Though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. In other words, that they, I showed you grace so that they'll know.
Yeah.
You see that? That's the way God does things.
Yes, sir.
That is consistent with all the rest of this book.
Yes, sir.
God shows grace to one to prove to another that he shows grace even to one.
That's right.
You see that? That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I have formed the light. Most people don't have much trouble with that, do they?
That's right, yeah.
But what else does he say?
Yeah.
And create darkness.
Yes.
But I'm still here to say, this is not incongruity. It is absolute continuity.
Yes, sir.
But look, even more. Let me find my spot. I make peace. And create evil.
Yeah.
Two opposites, correct?
Yeah.
The natural mind, the carnal reason says, but that is a contradiction. No, it's not. No, it's not. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord. Now, how many lords is he?
Yeah, exactly.
The one God. There is none other but me. I'm one God. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Amen.
And God just states it.
That's it.
And that's just the way it is.
Amen.
Now this jaundiced look of the world, this unbelieving carnal reasoning with which men and women and boys and girls approach the scripture, and they see it as contradiction.
Yeah.
That's what they see. It's basically manifest in two ways. And I don't want to deal with this a lot, but it's basically in two ways. First of all, there are those who believe the Bible is historically and or doctrinally contradictory. You know, the Bible's just written by a bunch of men, and there's contradictions all throughout. You understand what I'm saying? There are those who believe in historical, that the Bible's full of historical and doctrinal contradictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I have to say to that is, all right, we've dealt with that. That's done. We've seen what the answer to that is. But there is another one. It's more subtle.
Yeah.
It's the sleight of hand.
Yeah. Exactly.
Slick. It's got the pea under one of the three shells, and they're good at hiding it from you.
Yeah.
The second one's this, that there are mysteries of Scripture. Mysteries. The Bible uses the word, right?
Yeah.
Right? But the mysteries of Scripture allow for contradiction, even in God. Now, folks, I'm not going into detail here, because I'm not here to preach against somebody. But we've seen that happen and come from an individual, even in this very place. Someone I baptized basically said, God is contradictory.
Yeah.
That's a lie. It is carnal reasoning, taking the truth of God and seeing not both sides of the coin. It's seeing both sides, but then saying they can't dwell together. And I am illustrating it with this. We have a coin. It's one coin, David, but it has two separate opposite sides. But they are not contradiction. That's easy enough to grasp in your head, ain't it? And I realize that's probably not the best illustration, but let's go back to the book. I make peace. I create evil.
Amen.
Now, either you have a God who is contradiction, or you have the God of Scripture.
Exactly.
But the problem's even deeper than that. In other words, there are those who say, let's just say God's love. You know one of the phrases. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sinner's sin. And that's what it means when it says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. That's not what it says. It says the children.
Amen.
Be not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. It was said unto their mother, the elder shall serve the younger. Why? Why? What's the basis for that? Jacob I loved, the person. Had nothing to do with his deeds, good or evil.
Exactly.
That's what the book says, right? Esau I hated. The person.
Amen.
Scripture says God is angry with the wicked. Every day. Not just the wickedness of the wicked.
That's right.
But there's another more sly lie. That's hard to say. Don't say that fast three times. And I even heard it. I think I've read it. Yes, there are people God hates, but he loves them too. But see, they think God is allowed to be contradiction.
Yeah.
No, God didn't say, I loved Jacob and Esau, but I also hated Esau. He said, I loved one and I hate the other. It's not even I love one and am indifferent to the other.
Yeah.
He was not indifferent to the other.
No.
He hated the other.
Sir.
Now that is who God says he is in his book.
Yes, sir.
Contradiction? No. Absolute continuity.
Amen.
Even the old Puritans had some trouble with some things when it come to this line. Not that they tried to present God as a contradiction, because, I mean, the scripture, God... It's tough enough to try to declare the person of God. You know what I'm saying? He even is revealed in Scripture, having a finite mind and finite ability and finite understanding. So I'm not trying to criticize them. But a lot of the old Puritans would talk about justice and mercy as being separate. You know, then you read some of their old writings. If you go to hell, that'll be absolute justice. If you go to heaven, that'll be absolute mercy. Let me tell you, if you go to heaven, it's going to be absolute justice as well.
Yeah,
justice was absolutely satisfied for everyone that receives mercy and compassion.
Amen.
And I mean, they righteousness and peace have done what? Kissed. They're together.
That's right.
You know, it's amazing. Righteousness and peace, mercy and truth are together now. And you think mercy. The very thought, the very idea behind mercy is someone not getting what they deserve to get. But yet Scripture says, what is it? I've got it wrote down here. Psalms 85 and 10, that mercy and truth are together. They're in union with one another. That can only be done by God. But God does it in absolute continuity, not in incongruity. God never contradicts himself.
Exactly.
And God is not contradictory.
That's right.
Now, according to Job chapter 11, verses 7 through 9, I'm not going to read it. And it wasn't Job speaking, it was one of his friends. But yet, one of his friends didn't necessarily teach lies,
no.
They just misapplied the truth.
That's exactly.
That's what they did.
Yeah, you're right.
But one of Job's friends basically said this: God is incomprehensible. You can go back and read it sometime.
Yep.
God is incomprehensible. But just because God is incomprehensible, and he is, doesn't mean he's contradictory.
Exactly.
The problem doesn't lie with God. The problem lies with who?
Yeah.
Me.
That's
me.
Yeah.
According to the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3 and verse 20, God is not duality.
That's right.
He's certainly not even whatever the phrase would be for three or four or more,
yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
God is how many?
Yeah.
God is one.
Amen.
Scripture goes so far that he is of one mind.
Yeah.
Who can turn him?
Yeah.
It's true, God is more than one thing. He is. He's more than one thing, but he's still what?
One.
One.
That's right.
God is more than one thing. He is even two differing things at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in absolute continuity, never in incongruity.
Exactly.
We still got a lot of Syrians around today. Did you know that? And when I talk about those over there under Ashur Bassad. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about there's Assyrians right out here amongst us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said Assyrians. I mean Syrians. Yeah. Turn to a passage, just one verse. Let me find it. 1 Kings chapter 20. I was just doing some reading and doing some, you know, cross references. 1 Kings, let me find it here. And that's after Samuel, isn't it? 1 Kings chapter 20, and there's one verse. As I said, the Syrians, they're still all out around about us everywhere. And here sums up what I'm talking about. This unbelief, this carnal reasoning. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said. What did the Syrians say? Where were they coming from?
Yeah.
Look at what the Syrians said. The Lord is God of the hills, but he's not God of the valleys.
Okay.
Can't be both at one time now, can you? That's contradictory, ain't it? Just that little verse right there says a mountain of truth, does it not?
Yes, sir.
Because that's what carnal reasoning has always said about God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he could be one. But he can't be the other at the same time.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Syrians all around. I even, my heart by nature is the heart of a what?
Yeah.
A Syrian.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
My heart by nature is the heart of a Syrian. No, God is incomprehensible. That's true, but God is not duality. He's more than one thing, even two differing things at the same time, but he's still always absolutely, absolutely continuity.
Yes, sir.
Always. Think of it. Now, this last part here, number four. God is always absolute continuity at the same time.
Amen.
He doesn't move from one to the other,
that's
you
right.
See. Now, some, well, maybe that's what God could do.
Yeah.
He could be a God of the heels on top at one time and then down below at another time. No, he's both at one time. Now, do we have that taught in Scripture? Yes, we do. Romans chapter 11. Let's turn to that. And before I go any further, let me say, I believe in election because I need to get that in because I always preach on election.
Amen.
Had to get that in before we go any further. I'm liable to miss that. Boy, and I smart aleck. You see, that's what Tim preached about, that line upon line,
yeah.
Precept upon precept. That's the way God Almighty confounds some people, by saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again,
yeah.
And it finally just drives them back.
Yeah.
That's what this book does. It just keeps saying the same things over,
yes,
and over,
sir.
And over again. Now, Romans chapter 11, here's the point now. God is always absolute continuity at the same time. No matter what part of him he's talking about. Romans 11. Let's just begin in verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Unto who? even unbelieving Jews, if they're the elect of God. Even if they're unbelieving at this time, if they're the elect of God, God is not against them. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are what? Enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, oh, I didn't have to say that a minute ago. Here, it jumped out right there. As touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without change. Amen. That's what that means. Yeah. Without change. In other words, God don't change.
Amen.
No matter whether he's Joe Hilltop or Valley.
That's right.
No matter whether it's peace or whether it's evil. No matter what it is. Right? No matter what it is. Well, let's go on. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their, notice the, you see the phrasing? Through their belief. Boy, them Jews, at least they preach the gospel to us. No, they are rejecting it.
Exactly.
You see it?
Yeah.
Through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy.
Yeah.
But this someone that, the carnal mind says, that is contradiction. No, it's not. It's absolute continuity. Look, it's even more. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. God, wait a minute, put them there. God left them there. God's going to keep them there until his appointed time. Where are they? Unbelief.
Yeah. That's right.
Somebody say that's a bad state to be in. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of the elect.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he ain't going to leave you there.
Amen.
Even so, have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy? For for God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. That's the whole point. Don't you get it? Look, all the depths of the, so he is a God of the valleys, ain't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Syrians were wrong, weren't they?
Again.
They've always been wrong.
Amen.
And anything contrary to God's revelation of himself is always wrong and will always be wrong. And we don't have to say, well, but there could be contradictions because we don't understand it. Don't be a fool. That's like that bug sitting here trying to argue with me as whether I was going to send him into oblivion or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There's the incomprehensibility of God, but it's all in absolute continuity. Look, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor. So when someone says, but the answer is contradiction, they think they figured God out.
Exactly. They do.
Because, and that's the whole, they're saying, but see, well, we're not denying God, we're just explaining God.
Yeah.
Huh? Paul says it can't be done. If you don't even know a man's mind, or a being's mind, how are you going to know what in the world they really are?
Exactly.
Huh? Think about that. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who instructed him? That's what it's talking about. Who's been his counselor?
Yeah.
Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? God is not a tit for tat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if he was, all of us sons of Jacob would be consumed.
Exactly.
If that's what he was, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But let me tell you something, even when he saves a soul from death, sin and hell, is still absolute justice when he shows mercy. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And then Paul just is moved by the Spirit, so be it. This is just the way it is. Now, let me say that this is no novelty in Scripture. I've already given you a couple illustrations, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Isaiah and from Job. It's no novelty in Scriptures. In other words, there are continuity of opposites, but never contradictory duality. Now, as God is my witness, I wish I had more time to go through some of these in detail. But if I went through these in detail as they probably ought to be, you know. In other words, let me put it this way. I am never going to be able to exhaust this truth or the truth of God. And somebody says, well, if it's that important, why don't you just take time to spend on it? I could take one word and we'd never get anywhere else. Just like Ellen, that's what we're talking about. If there's a truth in Scripture and God moves a man to preach on that one word for the rest of his life and it's 90 years and it's God's truth, so be it.
Amen.
What's the problem? The problem is not, well, all he does is preach one thing. No, the problem is you don't like what he preaches. It's the truth of God and you're like those people Joe talked about. That's the problem. You hate God. You're uncircumcised heart and ears. That's the problem. Now think of this. Think of this. This is true. God is not duality. He is two sides and the same at one time. Okay? I'm just trying to illustrate. One, concerning God's mercy and his hardening. Which you knew I had to go there. Because I see everything through the prism of Romans chapter 9. And you can put that penny on my headstone if I die before you do. I don't mind that. With God's mercy and heart, that God Almighty can have mercy toward one and he can harden another.
Amen.
Men see that as contradictory. No, that's just who God is.
Amen.
Secondly, what about Christ's person? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. Everything that was made, there was nothing made that was made that wasn't made by him.
Amen.
In other words, these are very faulty words, I understand, but that's how much God he is.
Exactly.
He's all God.
Yeah.
But then in verse 14 it says, and this word, the word, was made flesh. That seems to be a contradiction,
yeah.
But it is absolute continuity.
Amen.
It wasn't just the Word came and dwelt in a body.
No.
The Word, God, was made flesh.
Right.
Creature and Creator,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Joining together in one.
Amen.
Yes, he had both deity and humanity. There is a duality, but never contradictory.
That's right.
But absolute continuity. So much so that the Apostle Paul said that when blood was shed for the redemption of sinners, it was God's blood.
Amen.
It was two natures joined in one person.
Yes, sir.
He did not have a dual personality. He, being God, is how many? One. Even when Jack the Word was made flesh, he wasn't two people. He was one person.
That's right.
With two natures. And you know what? That's just what the book teaches. That's what it says. And that's how it is.
Yes, sir.
I can't comprehend that. Join the club.
Yeah, exactly.
Join the club. What about another one? Look at this. Let me show you. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Here's another one. Concerning the sufferings of Christ proclaimed. Galatians 6, and let me look, verse 4? That's not right. Must be 14. Yes, 14. I wrote it down wrong. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid, that's pretty strong language, right? But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? Not the Roman crude, you know, piece of wood that he hung on. He's talking about his sufferings. His substitutionary sufferings. And we glory in that alone. You want to brag about something? There's something to brag about.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
You know, we want something to glory in. There's something to glory in. Yes, but look, the same apostle had just previously said, and what we got is chapter 5 and verse 11. Look, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. In other words, Paul is saying the cross is an offensive message. It's offensive to some. Now, to us, to some people, they glory in it. God forbid that they glory in anything else than that. But to others, it's what? It's an offense. And Paul says, I don't want to ever stop it being that.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about there.
Yeah.
I don't want the offense of the cross to cease.
No.
That sounds contradictory, don't it? But it's absolute continuity.
Yes, sir.
Absolute continuity. Now here's another one concerning the gospel of God Almighty Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And you know this passage. Let me make sure I'm in the right. Yeah, right place. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. What's he talking about? Anyone. I know some people say it's supposed to be preachers who do what I'm doing right now. It's anyone that God Almighty showed grace to in Jesus Christ, and they try to relay that truth to someone else.
Yes, sir.
Someone who's preaching the gospel of Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is, to proclaim it, to testify of it, to give witness of it. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Always.
Yes.
Somebody said, but I preach the gospel and it's got no results. Oh, yes, it does. You tell anybody the truth of Christ, it will have the right results.
Amen.
It will.
Yeah.
I years ago when I was in religion, I had me a good study Bible, and it said, whenever you try to win a soul, here's how to get results.
Yeah.
No, you just teach the truth, it'll get results.
Yes, sir.
Now the problem is, it don't get what this world wants.
Yeah.
It don't get what religion wants.
Yeah.
But it gets what God Almighty's ordained for it.
Amen.
Look. For we, and see, it's like I've told you, God Almighty so purposed it that He will send, I don't mean this as to quality, but He'll send number one sinner to number two sinner to tell number two sinner how sinful they are and how they ought to turn from their sin and turn to Christ.
Yes, sir.
But it's a sinner that's telling the first sinner, telling the second sinner what they ought to do.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way God works. And I'll tell you what, my flesh don't like that.
Yeah.
And your flesh don't like that. But that's the way God Almighty ordained it to happen.
Yes,
you know it? I mean, if somebody going to tell me I'm wrong, shouldn't it be God Himself? He is, through that other sinner.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Through that other sinner that may be worse than I am.
Yeah.
When we compare each other together. Look, but for we are unto God. And that's where it really matters, isn't it?
Yeah.
For we are unto God. Why? Because we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels.
Yeah.
For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. Well, of course, that's a give me, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But what else?
Yeah.
And in them that perish.
Amen.
Both. God sees it as a sweet smell, no matter what side of the coin it is.
Amen.
You see it?
Yeah.
It's all continuity. They ain't no contradiction here. It's all one sweet smell,
yeah.
David. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life.
Amen.
And let me finish it, then go back. And who is sufficient for these things?
Yeah.
None of us. God is our sufficiency. That's what he goes on to say, doesn't he? But here's the point. We are a savor of what? Death unto what? You preach the gospel to a man that's dead in trespasses and sins. You know what it is to him or her?
Yeah.
You know what it is to them? Well, they might be one of the elect. That ain't the point. Election made you no different than anybody else.
No, that's right.
Yeah. You are born just as dead as all others in trespasses and in sins. I was too. There was nothing. Being one of the elect of God, Joe, from all eternity, when I was conceived and born, I was just as dead and depraved and corrupt and incapable as anyone else, as even the reprobate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jacob was just as incapable and just as dead as Esau was by nature.
Yes, sir.
And what is the gospel to death?
Yeah.
death.
Amen.
But what is the gospel to life?
Yeah.
It's life.
Amen.
Hmm? Bread to a dead man is what? Nothing. Bread to a living man is what? Life.
That's right. Yeah.
Life. Yeah, the gospel is life. But only to the living.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I just preached the same message you did, Joe.
Yes,
that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's what God says right here.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, it's all absolute continuity.
Yes, sir.
There is no contradiction here. Well, if I believed that, I just wouldn't preach the gospel. Well, I know you would, because you've got trouble. Yeah, you've got a problem that's deeper than what you think. Because I believe that, and I preach the gospel more than I ever did when I was back in free willism.
Exactly.
That's just the truth. They ain't bragging on me. That's God Almighty's grace. But, I got to wind this up. But, here's the point. Not here. Here's the point. The problem with carnal reasoning, the problem with unbelief, is not it has an inability to comprehend God, because I, even still as a believer, don't have the ability to comprehend God.
Right.
That's not the problem. It's not an inability or a lack of ability or anything just to comprehend God as mystery with absolute continuity. That's not the problem. The problem is carnal reasoning and unbelief picks and chooses what it likes or dislikes about God.
Exactly. That's it.
It'll either tell the truth about one, and this is a bad phrase, if they're lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it will either lie or distort the other truth.
Yeah, you're right.
Trying to either make it continuity.
Yeah.
When they think, because they think it's not, mm-hmm. or they'll either ignore the other side because they think it's contradictory.
Yeah.
You see? John sums it up this way. Any man come to you and don't preach the doctrine of Christ, what did he say?
Yeah.
You don't even bid him into your house.
That's right.
And don't wish him a good day.
Exactly.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah.
If they don't bring this doctrine, what? That Jesus Christ, Messiah, God Almighty, is come in the flesh.
Yeah. That's right.
That's much more, and I believe Jesus Christ just had a body.
Exactly.
That's right. Much more. And I don't, that we could spend the rest of our lives talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
Peter put it this way. Paul taught some, in all of his epistles, things that are what? Hard to be understood. But he said, those that are unlearned and unstable, what do? They wrest them, twist them. Try to make it conform to what makes carnal reason. Oh, yeah, I get that now. You're never going to get God.
Exactly.
What God does is bow you down to Him in His Son by faith.
Yeah.
Paul sums it up this way. You know this passage, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he, at one word, is. Is. I mean, that seems so simple of a word. But it's so profound.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does not say believe that he exists. That's a give me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But believe that he is. Is what? Is what he says he is.
Amen.
In all that he says he is, whether I can comprehend it or not.
Amen.
Even if it seems contradictory, I bow to him as one God.
Amen.
Because he is not contradictory. He is the God not only of the hill.
Yeah.
He's the God of the valley as well. Yeah. And every Syrian is wrong.
That's exactly right.
Every Syrian is wrong. He that cometh to God must believe that he is what he says he is who he says he is. And what? And that he is a what?
Yeah.
A rewarder. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'll come to him and just maybe he'll accept me. Oh no. You believe that he is, and you also believe that he is a rewarder of them that do what? Make their decision for Jesus? Give their heart to the Lord? No, to them that diligently. Diligently is not a one-day shot. Okay, I got it. No, diligently is something that happens all the time. That diligently seek what? Him.
Amen.
Huh? Him, not because he's lost and needs to be found. Huh? But because he is so incomprehensible, so holy, so above us, so glorious and so wondrous and so many parts, but all still make up one whole, one God, absolute in all that he is at the same time. That's just who he is. You go to picking and choosing what you want, you're in trouble.
Exactly.
You're in trouble.
Amen.
But if you are enabled by God in faith just to bow down and say, God, that's who you say you are, even if that makes me contradictory to everybody else I talk to about it, so be it.
Amen.
So be it. Father, teach us these things. We thank you for what we've heard this morning through Job, for the truth of your work. And Lord, we, by your grace, have been given sight to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive. Though, Lord, it oft times seems so limited, but so be it. Bow us to thy Son by your grace and mercy. I ask in his name. Amen.